The June 13th, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been doing a little programming. I've had to do some article writing this week, so that's worked into my workload that I've been working on. But in general, I've tried a few ham radio things, but not a lot of code writing. So next on the list, we have Henry, PA0HJA, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Mike, AAAK, shown as recording. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhbsdr.org. Then we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Morning, afternoon, evening. So nothing to report this week. Looks like we're going to have our interstate restrictions removed shortly. So got a lot of customers to go and see and trips to plan. So that's been a pretty full week for me. But apart from that, no time for ham radio, I'm afraid. Back to you.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Dave and Phil. Yeah, nothing to report here. I've been pretty busy all week and actually coming to the conclusion I'm going to start hating technology soon if things keep breaking at the rate they're breaking for me. So I'll just turn it back to you, Dave.
Well, that's an interesting comment. So anyway, next we have Bob, VE3JKM, shown as recording in a way, and that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
My reason for swearing off technology is two nights this week, right about 5:15, all of a sudden all the monitoring alarms go off, and one of them was actually a really epic outage, which took out my company's entire cloud operation, which is a huge and embarrassing thing to have happen to us. And we just hit another one today, but this one only took out one data center. So it just starting to hate the damn computers at the moment.
It sounds like your power supply company or whatever.
No, it's, well, one of them was bad network routing and the other was a failed network line card.
Oh, well, when you have critical pieces in somewhere in a link and they fail, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, the failed line card is sort of an interesting one because it shouldn't have caused the grief it did. There's something in the redundancy stuff wasn't set right or didn't work as was intended.
Well, a project for somebody to figure out.
Thankfully, not me.
Well, my one thing since last week is I actually went ahead and ordered a second antenna tilter on my truck, and I've installed that. And now the other one seems to still work. And since I found the cover, I have a project to go through it, make sure everything's greased up and working properly and all, but I haven't gotten to that one yet.
How did you end up finding the cover on that? Did you go off hunting the side road, or did you just happen to see it on the shoulder?
Yeah, I was going to the store to get weather stripping. And I drove along and I noticed a black thing on the shoulder and about where it popped off. And I go, you know, that could be it. So I looped around and went back and pulled over and walked out. There was a little piece of plastic that had the logo on it. So I was pleased and picked it up. So I have all the parts. I just have to, after 16 years of use, and I've had one refurbish effort before, but it does take a toll on the back of a vehicle.
I see. Well, you must have been doing a little happy dance there on the shoulder, I bet.
Yes, I did. I didn't buy any duct tape yet. Well, I had duct tape, but I haven't made any duct tape yet. But I do want to make sure it's securely attached before I use it again. Although I was looking at giant shrink wrap tubing and thought about it for a while today, but I didn't buy that either.
That's really big shrink wrap tubing, isn't it?
Well, what I saw at the store was 1.5 inches, which isn't quite big enough. So probably need at least 2 or 2.5 inches to go around it. I decided, well, I don't know where else I would use shrink wrap that's that big in diameter.
I see. Interesting. It looks like there's a new direct sampling ICOM radio coming out.
Yes, I've been reading about it, and apparently it's been available in Japan for a little bit, but they've been delayed. It must be the COVID stuff that delayed it or something like that.
This is the IC705, all-mode portable.
It looks like a nice radio, but I'd like to see one in person sometime.
Well, I would bet that it would roll out at Dayton this, you know, if they were planning on releasing it in the U.S. this year, you'd certainly have seen it at Dayton would be the place you'd show such a thing.
I think you're right. Does it, whatever you're looking at, does it say it's available yet, or is it July or something?
Well, no, it's showing as a pre-release. I clicked on a ad for a ICOM thing and saw it.
I see people taking reservations, but don't see when it's expected to show up. Sounds like it puts out 10 watts of power.
I guess, I wonder if it must be a conventional analog transmitter, I'm guessing.
Just looking at the spec, it's 30 kilohertz to 25 megs, it's direct sampling. Then 25 megs and above, it's down conversion using an IF of 38.85 megs. I thought it says it covers 30 kilohertz to 200 megahertz unbroken. It's apart from some odd frequencies, I guess will be the IF. But I thought it might be direct sampling all the way across that frequency band, but it looks like it's what it is. It's only from 30 kilohertz to 25 megs and then a down converter from then on.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder which converter they're using and what the bit depth on it is. I could see actually where they might go with a smaller converter bandwidth, because if the clock is much and this thing's supposed to run on batteries, that could make a big difference. It's interesting. They say it's got Bluetooth, which is nice, and wireless LAN, which I would assume is Wi-Fi, for smartphone linking and remote control. Wonder if it's got an Ethernet port on it.
I did see it had a built-in GPS.
I'm just looking at the specs for the spurious and image rejection. So more than 70 dB for HF and 6 meters, which is nice, okay. More than 54 dB on 2 meters and 70 cents, which seems a bit low. And then in brackets, except for ADC aliasing.
That doesn't sound good.
No, I wonder what it means.
They're not rejecting harmonics well?
Yeah, I don't know. Why would you not be able to reject aliasing? There's also IP remote control software. Maybe it does have Ethernet though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Except for ADC alias. I wonder if there's cases where if you've got something aliased on the ADC that are not rejecting it well at the edges or something. That would sort of say that they're band limit filter in the front is not terribly sharp, or well, maybe it's not. Maybe on the edges of the band limit filter you might have an aliasing problem.
Yeah, it could be.
Nicely, it does wide FM, so you can actually listen to commercial radio should you want to. I wish they had pictures of it where this is almost like a handy talkie you hold in portrait mode or landscape mode.
What I've seen of it, it looks more like the K2 or something like that.
Or one of the KX1 size radios, or?
Yes, kind of that size. It's for QRP and when you move around and go out on field day kind of stuff. Probably make a good soda radio.
I heard that as soda can. I think you meant SOTA.
S-O-T-A.
Yeah, I heard it as S-O-D-A, and I was thinking, ah! You know, it seems like ICOM has seen the light on direct sampling.
Well, it looks like it's available in Japan, and they have pricing in Great Britain, but the U.S., they're looking August-September timeframe. Well, the screen that you posted, I have a paper version of that on my wall that wasn't quite as much as that.
You mean a mechanical working one?
No, just a map of the world.
Oh, right, one time a day, Geochron.
Yes.
Actually, one day a year.
Yes, but I do have a clock next to it.
I used to have a screensaver on Windows that did this. I really liked it a lot, and I've always wanted to get one of these things, but what I really should do is endeavor to just write the damn code to do it and put out an app to run on Android TV or Apple TV and be done with it.
Yeah, that would do it, and then you wouldn't have to worry about where can I find the code.
You know, I sort of wonder on the math on how do you figure out... I can figure out a brute force way to do this is, look at sunrise, sunset time at every point on the graph and figure out, okay, is it daylight or nightlight here? But surely there's got to be a more elegant way to do that.
Well, just a minute. Let me show you one program that's JavaScript.
There are those that don't believe JavaScript is a programming language.
Well, I understand that, but... try this one. You do need a call sign that somebody transmitting whisper, and then it'll, when you upload some data, then it will give you night and day parameters.
Yeah, I don't need a call sign. You just need a, so he does know how to draw this. I wonder where he gets his, I wonder, does he get this from S3 or does he compute this himself?
Well, the base map is Leaflet, which is an open maps kind of little JavaScript set of functions.
I'm wondering, though, how does he do the shading for day-night?
Well, guys, it's been decided we're going shopping this morning since the shop's open, so... I see 73s with everyone. Have a good week and catch you next week. 73.
73.
Enjoy the shopping as much as you can.
User disconnected from your channel.
The thing I'm puzzling over is how do you write the, or what's the equation to figure out what the where the gray line is?
I have some code that I can get. I'm trying to type in just at the moment. Well, I'm trying to type you a link.
Fair enough.
This is the code he's using to calculate the gray line.
Well, cool.
With that, you can write it in any language you want, right?
Yeah, probably. This is a... an area of programming that's always fascinated me is figuring out sunrise and sunset and the like. And You actually have a good book on it, Astronomical Algorithms, and it drives me crazy, though, because it talks about various different time systems and sidereal time, and just never managed to totally grasp all it was trying to tell me.
Well, that's one of the frustrations with doing graphics is it's like each little sub-discipline has their own way of running the coordinates and figuring out from one coordinate system to the other one, how do you do the conversions? And it can get quite complex, particularly in spherical geometry.
So how did you come across this? You clearly knew about this a while ago.
Well, I actually like this as a display of my Whisper beacon, and I'm running one of the Tapper 2/10 of a watt Raspberry Pi beacons, and that's if you put in KV0S. Right now I'm running the 30 meter beacon. I have a 30 20 30 and 40, and I just switch back and forth between them mechanically, and then I use this to look at what my returns are, because it's a little bit faster than the WhisperNet, and I don't have the complaint about the since it's open maps, there's not the complaints about you violated your Google Maps usage.
I see. I just put you in here. It looks like in the last hour you've been heard in Europe and South America, as well as all over the U.S.
Yes, that's pretty good for 2/10 of a watt.
Okay.
Now, one of the things, when I get a little bit of time, I want to sit down and take one of my, like my Penelope, and put your code in it and do multiple bands at the same time, or not at the same time, but at the same time, but not every transmit cycle.
That would be interesting. Although that'll cut your power. So what, you're taking roughly what, half a watt for spread across three bands, so you're getting even quieter.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to try some variations, you know, one band or two or three, but I think that's a fascinating thing, and I'm not using my Penelope right now, so I thought, well, why not think of that one?
Yeah, it would have been cool, but I should have finished that code to go look, take the, either take the pulse per second input from a GPS and the NEMA stream to be able to, the code I've got has no, the whole way that code worked is, okay, we'll turn it on at the start of a GPS minute, you'd be fine, but if it drips, you're sort of screwed.
Yeah, that would be nice. And I had written a little piece of code in Qt4 at that time that you'd type in the information that you would put into the Whisper software, and it turns it into the bits that you need to send.
Well, very cool. Thanks for the link on the gray line. That's a keeper.
Yep. And, I don't know if you play with JavaScript, but it's one of those immediate feedback kind of things. You change a few lines of code, and then you can go look at what positive or negative you've done.
Yeah, I'm positively horrified at things like Node.js and writing server-side apps in JavaScript and things like that. But I find the language to be an abomination, but that's one of those things where I can read it if forced to.
Well, Bill, if you write either in C or Go, I would like a copy back.
Fair enough.
And I don't know, have you heard of the guy who wrote Node has written a TypeScript compiler called Deno, Deno.
No, what's it do?
It's a TypeScript compiler. And he had fiddled with Go for a while, so he picked up a whole bunch of Go ideas in the utilities like Fumpt and I don't know, they're just a bunch of utilities. It has a compiler command. It can go to an executable, and it uses TypeScript, so you have to actually put in variable types.
Okay, I'm gonna have to plead ignorance on not knowing what TypeScript is, other than the quickie Google study that tells me it's JavaScript that scales.
Yeah, it's basically JavaScript, where you have to. The biggest difference is that all your variables have to have a type, and a lot of people have been using it with Node has a TSC, TypeScript compiler, and you run your TypeScript through it, and it turns into JavaScript that is safer than handwritten JavaScript. And programs like React have used it quite a bit. A lot of people at Google like it because the code inherently has fewer hidden errors.
I've heard that before.
Well, at least the typing tends to not stuff one variable type into a variable and read it out as another one, which it used to really be bad in JavaScript, but it's still there's lots of obfuscation.
Yeah, understood. I see. But yeah, I don't know. I just never horrified at what JavaScript gets used for these days, and I see commercial apps running on Node.js. I'm like, God, could you use a real language? I mean, this is me dissing stuff that runs in browsers and stuff, so.
Well, when you want to use a browser as a view to something else, it has a place there. That's about the only place, or that's the main place where I would use it.
Yeah, no, I'm more of a old school guy that says, well, you shouldn't run significant applications in browsers and you should write native code for it, but I've been proven to be wrong on that one.
Well, I don't have the problem with the native code, but I, for example, with Go, you pretty much got to go to a web page to display your output or a command line.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Go was never meant to do GUIs of any sort. I mean, it has no concept of them. I mean, nor was C. Actually, that's what you need. You need a layer on top, or you need a library on top of Go to Win32.
Yeah, I guess so.
There were those that would call that completely, well, they would say that's the completely wrong way to do it, but I don't know. I've never been thrilled with browser things that I get. Well, I don't know. Everything runs in the browsers today, and personally, it drives me a little crazy.
Yeah, I know. So it's navigating the world as it is now, and it's going to be different in a couple of years. So figuring out how to make some useful programs.
It's sort of funny. Some of this just becomes generationally. I had one of my coworkers, who's, I don't know, 3, 4 years out of college now, said today that he'd rather do presentations on his phone because it was so much more natural to present with swipe left and swipe right to advance and retard, go forward and backwards in the slides while he's presenting. And I was like, you'd rather present on a 3x5 index card than a, nice full-size display. And we had a bit of an argument or discussion about that.
Well, I could see that he would like that, and you would like your point of view.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I had to point out, as you get older, you don't see things on those little 3x5 index card screens so good anymore.
Well, we did talk about you had some colleagues that used like 0.6 font or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Hell, I used to do that when I was young too. Yeah, sort of amusing. This is a nice bit of code here. I have to go figure out what the hell it's trying to tell me.
Yep. And if you go, basically, to get to the JavaScript, you just look in the, it's not obfuscated, and it's basically in the dev tools. You can go in and find the different pieces they have.
Yeah, I see that. Very nice.
I was trying to write some leaflet app or presentation to map some points on a map, and then I go and then ran onto this one, and this one's really close to what I'd like to do, although there's a couple other things, but there's always that.
Yeah, I've had a the hell language is it in? I guess it's C code, or no, it's Java code that calculates sunrise sunset times, given latitude, longitude, and what day it is. And I've used that for years for various things. And I was thinking, well, I was always thinking if I ever tried to color a map for is it night or dark, I could just brute force it and go, point by point on the map and, calculate, okay, is the sun up or down? But this certainly looks a little more elegant.
And it is nice in that if you're looking at the North or South Pole, depending on what time of year, it's all daylight or all dark.
Yeah, it's sort of surprising to see that, to see how far south the Terminator was when I was looking at this map, but actually thinking about it, it's not that surprising because we are just before the longest day of the year.
Yep. And I've been watching this map for about a year, and it does reverse. So when it's our winter time, there's lots of sun in the southern hemisphere and not much in the northern.
No, but the other interesting one to see is the equinox days where the Terminator's vertical.
Yes, that's great. Well, enjoy. I think I'm going to take off if you don't have anything else.
No, I don't, but thanks for the maybe I'll put the Geochron digital guys out of business one of these days with my own little app.
Make a nice screensaver.
Or a screensaver to throw on my television.
There you go.